Hello and welcome to Yashoda Health Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Lakshmi, and today we are exploring a powerful concept that is longevity medicine, the science of staying healthier for longer and not just adding years to life, but adding life to years. Aging doesn't have to mean illness, weakness, or dependence. With the right approach, we can prevent or delay age-related conditions like diabetes, heart disease, obesity, cognitive decline, and joint problems. Longevity medicine focuses on early health screenings, metabolic monitoring, lifestyle optimization, stress and sleep management, and personalized preventive care. To guide us through how science can help us age better, we are joined by Dr. Srikaran Uddesh, Consultant General Physician at Yashoda Hospitals. So welcome to the podcast, Doctor.
Thank you.
So let's start right from the top. What exactly is longevity medicine? I mean, it sounds so futuristic and it's so high tech.
It's not that futuristic, but yeah, I would say this will be the future of medicine. Longevity medicine is nothing but trying to address the health span and the lifespan gap that is there in the world right now. I'll just give you an example. Say somebody is living till 75 years. Out of that 75 years, 10 years of their life, they're spending in what you call ill health. So longevity medicine with complete data and research tries to address that gap between the health span and lifespan. So basically, the tag of our clinic is add life to your years, not just years to your life.
Yes, I was about to just say that. So how is it different? I mean, you know, most of us, we get these preventive health checkups annually, say it. So how different is longevity medicine from this?
In a way, it's an addition to the preventive health check. Like to give an example, say we have fasting blood sugar, post-lunch blood sugars and HbA1c in a routine checkup. But in this, for a patient, all of these could be normal. But in this sector, we kind of do what is called as fasting insulin levels, or we do what is called HOMA-IR to check whether the patient already has insulin resistance, to address it before the patient actually develops any diabetes or metabolic dysfunction. So it's going that one step further before the patient actually gets that chronic disease. So like that, there are many examples. I'm just giving an example that people are familiar with.
That's such an interesting perspective. So it means that, you know, we are not just looking at the disease, its numbers, or at just at the surface level, but going to the root bottom or something like that.
Yes. See, basically, we are trying to find out whether this patient or whether anybody is at risk for developing chronic diseases. We address those risks by doing these advanced diagnostics and help them even not get those diseases or prevent or delay them. So it can be neurodegenerative, it can be cardiovascular diseases, it could be metabolic dysfunction, any of these things. There are advanced diagnostics now and we have other physical metrics to assess so many of these things. So it's, yeah, you could say it's a bit futuristic, but it will catch on.
So it's like prevention before prescription.
Absolutely. It's the whole agenda is no prescription, just prevention.
So do you think this longevity medicine is in the hotspot today, especially in our country?
In our country, I think it's going to take a few more years to catch up. But yes, it's pretty big in Europe, pretty big in US. So there are many longevity clinics that have popped up. But in India also, I think it will take a hold because our population also is living longer. And we'll also try to address the health span. That's why we at Yashoda have opened this.
As a society, we live longer, so I think it's better to learn to live better. So for someone, you know, who feels perfectly okay, who feels healthy, is fit and eats clean most of the time, do you still think they should visit a longevity physician?
At least once, everyone should visit a longevity physician. Whether they need recurrent visits or not depends on what we find with them. Because if you feel healthy, doesn't mean you're actually healthy. There might be chronic diseases lurking, which may have not have appeared yet. So visiting the physician once is definitely ideal for any age group. So the age group doesn't matter.
So it was interesting that you've mentioned about the diabetes and some markers as to how you would see diabetes as. Do you have any interesting story as someone who was, but the diabetes was reversed or the lifespan has increased?
It's funny that you asked. Today that patient came to me. That patient, we actually put him on a... Initially, the patient had a high BMI. Like, he was overweight. He was on two drugs for diabetes. So we kind of personalized his nutrition. We gave him strength training programs. We altered his sleep habits. And now in the past 3 months, his HbA1c, which was earlier 7.5, has dropped to 5.6. So that way, I think it's a win for the patient. He's off medication since the past 3 months, thanks to the, you know, personalized interventions that we could do. So this is one of the stories, successful stories. There are many more, and hopefully many more to come.
That's really motivating and inspiring to know. And I'm sure you'll be having a lot as we go ahead. So does this mean that the longevity can prevent most of the diseases and we can live healthier?
I wouldn't say most of the diseases, but the chronic diseases we can prevent. And by obviously, it depends from patient to patient when they come to you, what they're up to in their life, how active they are, what they eat. There's so many factors. So it's really, really personalized. So preventing all of them, I wouldn't put that as a blanket statement, but we can definitely delay.
So talking about longevity, I'm sure most of us have heard this term, blue zones. So what are some lessons do you think that we all can learn from blue zones? And what exactly is blue zones? I'm sure you would like to explain it to our viewers out there.
Yeah, so there are about 5 blue zones in the world. Basically, in this region, people tend to live longer, healthier, and more vibrant lives compared to anywhere else on the planet. They're in different parts of the world. Here, the main few things are, they're more mobile, they're more active physically, they eat whole foods or nutrient-dense foods, they stay away from red meat, they have better social connections, and these are the main things, better social connections, better physical activity, and eating whole foods. This is the predominant pattern in all the blue zones across the world.
Isn't it interesting that they don't have any fancy gyms or they don't follow any, you know, fashion trends of diet and they still tend to live longer?
Yes, that's the thing. Not following a fad diet is the most important thing here. Basically having or eating natural foods, not processed. That is one of the recurring themes in all blue zones. They eat only whole foods. It's not processed. And they have great social connections. All of them, you see, people who live more than hundreds, like if you take Okinawa, for example, it's like a community. They sit there in the afternoon, everyone gets together, they have stories to tell each other. So the social connections also is extremely important. In fact, a big Harvard study which came about, it was for an 85-year study, which said the biggest thing that is responsible for longevity is actually social connections.
So I think social connection and a sense of purpose, I think these are the secrets for longevity.
Absolutely.
So what are some tests or assessments that you typically do at the longevity clinic?
So the tests are extremely personalized. So it depends on the age of the patient. It depends on the physical activity levels of the patient. So there are many factors. But just to give a broad idea, we go that one step further. Just like I was talking about home IR, we do what is called as a DEXA scan to measure the visceral fat and the muscle mass of patients. We do a physical assessment of their grip strength, VO2 max, so many other things. But it's more of a comprehensive assessment. We have a physiotherapist team who assess from reflexes, from balance, movement, and we have a very good nutritional team as well, which assess as to how much protein the person needs or how many carbohydrates they need. So it's not just one test, but it's a complete amalgamation of tests that we do to basically understand the patient as a whole.
And also we get to hear a lot of terms like metabolic health, biological aging. And what are these terms and how would you like to explain these? I mean, do you think that's more important than chronological age?
Yeah, so there's a lot of research coming out saying that your chronological age and your biological age are completely different in most people. Some people who are active or who are healthy, their biological age is lesser compared to their chronological age. In fact, we've gone so advanced now, there are organ clocks where basically each organ has its own pace of aging. So we have tests now wherein we can see whether your heart is aging at a different rate than your body, whether your liver is aging at a different rate. Though these tests are a little bit more expensive, we can tell whether your organs are functioning at a level that they should function or not. So that's one thing that is still in the research phase. But yes, we do have epigenetic clocks and organ clocks, which can give us much more information than the basic tests.
So that means your body's age might be different from your birthday, what your birthday says.
Yes, absolutely. There are a lot of patients who chronological age might be 40, but their biological age can be 50. So vice versa. So definitely there can be a discrepancy.
So how do some lifestyle factors like sleep, stress, nutrition and exercise fit into longevity medicine?
The four things that you've described are the absolute core pillars of longevity medicine or any lifestyle disease.
So overall well-being.
Well-being. I think exercise plays a huge role. It's one of the most important prescriptions that we can give a patient. It's actually a prescription now, especially in longevity medicine, doing resistance training, trying to train in zone 2, trying to do VO2 max training. There's so many things, modalities that we need to do. And similarly with sleep, sleeping the right amount at the right time and also not overdoing it also is more important. And of course, nutrition. Nutrition is everything. It has to do with ultra-processed intake. Just cut out the ultra-processed foods, eat whole foods and ensure that you're eating nutrient-dense foods which are high in protein compared to what we generally try to eat, which is refined carbohydrates and more saturated fat intake. So all those four make a really, really big difference.
So what's your health mantra? What is that secret tips that you follow for your well-being?
Yeah, so I basically go to the gym at least 3 to 4 times a week. I try to do Pilates, which I've just started since the past 6 months for more flexibility. So it's again personalized to me because I had some flexibility issues. So I had to do Pilates to fix that. And obviously, I try to eat clean at least 6 days a week. Yeah, one day I do have the off day where, you're trying to indulge in
eat meal.
Yes, absolutely. But more, it's about resistance training, trying to go to the gym more often than I possibly can. But largely, it is eating within the required calorie amount. Like, I would never eat as in I'm like feeling full. I would definitely feel that little bit more hungry and then I stop. So, I would never eat a full meal.
That is also a Japanese tradition, I guess. So,
yeah, so
for longevity.
It's like you try to eat 80% of how much you can possibly eat. That goes a long way. And now I've started trying to restrict meals as well. That's basically trying to fast once a week or not. Even though it's getting difficult, but there are a few techniques like time-restricted eating. All that I've not adopted, maybe I'll adopt in the coming months.
You know, it sounds so simple, cutting off the ultra-processed food, eating clean, getting your steps or doing some workouts and not eating junk. But do you think it's really that simple or it's a mind game?
I think there are two things going here. One is obviously our lifestyle has become so, evolved to certain things like our stress levels, our ability to move, all that has come down dramatically. At the same time, these ultra-processed foods, once you start having them, they trigger certain regions of the brain which, you make them addictive to you, most of them. So the companies know that and hence we keep going back to these UPFs. So it's both things. It's not easy, unfortunately, because of the things that I mentioned earlier. So we need that extra will to maintain those four pillars that we always talk about.
So you surely want to live 100 plus years, I guess. So.
No, not necessarily. I'd be happy to live healthily till whatever point I live.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So longevity medicine, it's still being at the budding stage, especially what you're talking about today. So what are some latest advancements or what are some futuristic advancements that could you possibly see and that could make our life easier?
Like the many drugs in the pipeline which could slow down aging potentially. We still don't have robust data on them. But yes, we have something called like a rapamycin, which there's still human trials are going on, which could possibly slow aging. So that is one. And we are having, like I just discussed earlier, we have advanced diagnostics to kind of understand which organ is aging at which rate. Basically, they're called organ clocks. And of course, we have the epigenetic clocks, which determine our biological age compared to the chronological age. So all these are evolving. It's an evolving landscape. And we'll probably have a lot more on our disposal in the next 5 to 10 years with the help of AI and machine learning.
So most of us think that, you know, longevity, reverse aging, all these things are only fancy stuff, only meant for celebrities. Do you think that's true?
No, unfortunately, no. Yes, certain diagnostics are expensive. I can't deny that. But at the same time, the four pillars that we've been discussing since the start of the health talk, we have to know that all of those four are under our control. You don't need any fancy things to actually follow those, like sleep, nutrition, diet, exercise. All these are extremely like manageable things if you are have the will to do it. So it's not that expensive. Yes, the diagnostics may be, but your will is not expensive.
So what are some common myths that you generally come across about longevity medicine that you would like to clear it for all of us here today?
The first myth, I mean, you asked the question that it is for celebrities and for people who are really rich. No, it's not. That is not at all true. In fact, the diagnostics are actually, the prices are coming down. And our package also is pretty reasonable in Yashoda. So it's really that a myth that it's for the expensive or it's really expensive. The second thing is that we can completely stop aging or, you know, you just won't die. That I think it's a long, long way to go. We've not addressed the all hallmarks of aging. So that is also a myth. It's only about delaying aging and trying to prevent chronic diseases. It's not about stopping death in itself. We still are very, very, very far from that.
So I guess longevity is not just about looking 20 or 30, but feeling and living your best no matter at what age you are.
Absolutely, yes.
So talking about supplements, are there any, you know, basic supplements that everybody should take irrespective of their age or maybe once they hit a certain age?
Yeah, so there's a lot of gyan going around in social media as to what supplements need to be given. In fact, supplement itself is a whole health talk. It will take about an hour's time.
Correct, absolutely. I agree.
So health-wise, when we look at it, I think supplements are very personalized. It depends from person to person. Somebody can be D deficient. Somebody can have low levels of minerals. Somebody can have low levels of vitamins. So it depends. We'll do a screening. Some people might need omega-3 depending on their omega-3 index levels. So supplements is not like a blanket or a basket that we prescribe everyone. It's very, very, personalized.
Depending
only once the patient comes to us, we try to assess the various deficiency that they possibly have and then we prescribe.
I think you hit the nail by explaining this because most of us tend to gulp all the supplements, you know, irrespective of whether they need it or not.
I know. Not a good option.
So as we were discussing earlier, that lifestyle changes can be tough, but it's not something that we cannot do. So how do you motivate your patients? I'm not sure if I can say patients. How do you motivate people around you?
I think it's extremely important we set short-term goals first. And once we start achieving short-term goals, generally, you know, we try to look at the longer goals. And like it's simple, like in a patient say who's having insulin resistance, you prescribe resistance training and try and tell him that, you know, eat well or eat proper food. You can see the results in about 4 weeks time. So that way, when you show the person or the patient, whoever it is, that these are the tangible results that we are seeing, and I think they can be really
so
motivated.
That pushes them automatically.
Absolutely, it pushes them. Like they'll see a drop in their waistlines. They'll feel more energetic. They'll feel more vibrant. So I think that will motivate them for long term.
So I think small, steady steps wins any day over perfection.
Absolutely. I mean, you cannot, you know, perfect everything. So it's a learning curve. We have to learn along with the patient and then take them on the journey.
So for someone who's considering or thinking about longevity medicine, what is that one step or one habit that you would like to say to them?
First thing, obviously, exercise. That is the most, and also not just walking. I mean, a lot of people tell when you, a lot of my patients are like, but I walk. Unfortunately, that's not enough. You have to go to the gym. You have to do resistance training. You have to lift weights, basically, at least twice a week. So that is the first prescription that I give any patient of mine, be it 20-year-old or a 70-year-old or a 75-year-old.
So there we get it. Walking is not exercise. You have to hit the gym and sweat it out. So before we wrap up, Dr. Srikaran, what is that one message you would like to share with our viewers out there as far as longevity medicine is concerned?
Nothing. I would just say move more, eat less. That is the basic mantra I keep telling all my patients. Ensure that you are moving more and eating not 100%.
Thank you, doctor, for highlighting how simple yet disciplined lifestyle choices, regular screenings, mindful nutrition, and early intervention can help us live longer, stronger, and healthier. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and stay connected for more expert insights. Healthy aging starts today. Invest early, live fully. Until next time, stay healthy and stay informed with Yashoda Hospitals. Thank you.